Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today is Pentecost, commonly called Whitsun Day. Let not your heart be afraid, by the late Most Reverend John T. Calhoun. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples gathered to celebrate the Hebrew feast of Pentecost. Pentecost is the Greek word for the Feast of Weeks, which came 50 days spent after Passover. The Feast of Weeks was a celebration of the earliest part of the yearly wheat harvest. It was a tradition in Judaism that it had been on a Pentecost that God gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai. So as the agricultural connection became more extensuous, Pentecost became a time to thank God for the law. Jesus promised that the Holy Ghost would come, and he came down upon the disciples on Pentecost and manifested himself in three ways. There was a rushing mighty wind, spirit and ghost, man or wind. And the first manifestation of the Spirit of God was as wind. In Genesis and tongues of fire, God revealed himself to Moses and the wandering Israelites as firsthand. The disciples began to praise God in languages they'd never learned. The fact that they could praise God in languages they had never learned represented the reversal of what happened at Babel, also in Genesis. Originally, everybody on earth spoke the same language. People got together to build a tower which would reach up to the place where God was, and, as they said, make a name for themselves. God came down and saw what they were up to, so he dispersed them throughout the world and confused their languages so they couldn't get together on a major worldwide plot. The best thing God did was call Abraham and begin his work in history through the family of one man, the Jews. Pentecost, with this reunion of language through the Holy Ghost, makes the reunion of all men in Christ and the end of the need for Jews to keep themselves separate from the rest of the world. When they saw the wind and the fire and they heard the languages, some of the onlookers said that the disciples were drunk. St. Peter said that the disciples were not drunk at all. He proceeded to explain what was going on in terms of a prophecy from the Old Testament prophet Joel. Joel had said that someday God would pour out his Spirit on everyone. That is, everyone in the world could have direct access to the power that comes from God and to the comfort that comes from God. Peter says, "What you have seen here today is that Joel's prophecy has come true." The most remarkable thing about that, of course, was that based on previous performance, the last person anyone would have expected to be able to give a coherent sermon and a plausible explanation for what went on was Peter. Always headstrong, usually stupid, mostly out of it, Peter, who preached a sermon which caused 3,000 people to be baptized. The power of God in the world was unleashed in its fullest. The power of God, who came down on the disciples that day, is still unleashed in us. Getting the Spirit into our love is what the sacraments of baptism and confirmation are all about. God ties us to him with the Spirit. God teaches us about himself through his Spirit. God welds us into a community through his Spirit. God forgives our sins through his Spirit. God gives us joy through His Spirit. God gives us the promise of heaven through His Spirit. The coming of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost marks God's final decisive action in the world until Christ comes again. The law brought judgment. We measure ourselves by the law of Moses, and we recognize that we can never keep it in full, and that since its prescriptions cut to our thought and words as well as our deeds, we know we are breaking all the laws all the time. There is no possibility that we can ever behave ourselves in such a way as to get God to save us. But that is exactly why the Spirit comes down on us on that today. The law is not obliterated, far from it. The law is established even more deeply. But the law takes on its proper use, which is to show us we are sinners and that the only claim to a relationship to God is to eternal life in heaven, that we have purely through the grace of God. God does not save us because we are good. God saves us despite the fact that we are not good and because He loves us. Jesus tells us that He has overcome the world, and He has done it for us. And He has done it precisely because we cannot overcome the temptations of the world ourselves. The Spirit is the Spirit, not of bondage to fear, but the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit has adopted us and made us God's children. Nothing can take that away except our refusal to repent. And that is why Jesus says, Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.